Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit Travels Radio. I'm Karen Miles, and I'm going to be bringing my co-host on shortly. Tonight we have Bruce Barkala, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him in. We are running slightly late, so I do apologize, everybody. Hi, Bruce. Bruce?
Hey, hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing okay. Running late. It's been a long day. I do apologize for that.
Oh, not a problem.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and bring my co-host in real quick, if that's all right with you, and then we'll go ahead and get started.
Yeah, sure. Do what you guys do, and then bring me in when you're ready.
All right. Well, here she is. Well, I guess we don't have to do that. Hi, Dolly.
I'm here.
Okay, hi.
Hi. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi. Oh, I'm doing okay tonight, just staying inside because we're due for pouring down rain, so it's not a lot we can do this evening.
Right, right. You guys ain't getting a break on that weather, huh?
We can't. It rains every other day. I don't know why. Virginia has gotten a lot of rain, even through the summer. It rained every other day. For some reason, we've gotten the hits of the rain. So we're expected 3 days this time, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I said, well.
All right, well, I don't want you all nervous with me tonight, all right?
I'm not. I've gotten you. I'm used to you now. I'm okay, I promise.
And exactly. And I apologize. I'm running on Central Time, not Eastern Time. So I had my time a little messed up tonight, but we're here. So we made it. So I just want to welcome you to the show, Bruce, and I appreciate you being patient. So if you want, let's start by you telling everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sounds good. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for having me on tonight. Well, my name is Bruce Barracloud, Jr. I am the founder of Northeastern Anonymous Research, NEAR. We are a research team. Basically, we investigate claims of parapsychology, cryptozoology, and UFOlogy. We travel through many different states, doing many different types of investigations and expeditions, helping out different clients and stuff like that. Also do a radio show called NEAR, Skeptics and Believers Radio Show. We are actually going to be aired in 2 weeks on the GTN network, the same network you guys are on, and we're going to be doing not only radio, but we're also going to be doing a little bit of the video TV that comes with that. So looking forward to joining the GTN network. Richard's a great guy. He has a great format going there. It's going to be great.
Well, I want to welcome you to GTN because you have picked a fantastic place to be. That's for sure. I have known Richard for quite some time. Our show has been with GTN pretty much from the beginning. So you're going to enjoy being there. Like I said, Richard, he's a fantastic person. So is his wife. And they work for the show hosts and the shows. And it's really good network to be on.
Very cool. Definitely looking forward to it.
Okay. So... With with your team, and you said you did a lot of traveling. I do have to ask this question because I'm very curious. Which of all the investigations that you've done, which one was the worst? Which one made you second guess or rethink even being in the paranormal?
You know what? I actually haven't really came across an investigation like that. My philosophy basically within the field is out there to get answers, you know, also as well. It's the adrenaline rush while you're doing it as well. I don't think there's really ever a bad investigation, because each investigation you do, whether you prove something exists, whether you get any evidence, whether you don't, it all pans out because it's a learning experience. We're learning on a daily basis, whether that be the parapsychology field, whether that be cryptozoology, UFOlogy. There are no experts in the field. My word that I like to use with many different people that have been within the fields for many years, they specialize in this certain field. Okay, they're not an expert. I despise that name. I don't believe there are any experts out there. I really can't say, out of all the investigations that we have done in expeditions, there was a fairly bad one. You know what? Maybe I can say we did do a Bigfoot expedition down in Vermont, and that might have been one of the worst investigations, seeing I ended up leaving at the end of the weekend with, I believe it was like 70-something mosquito and deer fly bites, and we were all covered with bites all over our bodies. So, you know, if I did have to pick an expedition or an investigation that I probably wouldn't do again, depending on the time of year, it'd definitely be that one.
Oh, wow. Well, I agree. Some of the investigations, that's like, I remember one time we done one, and it was ticks as well that caused a lot of problems. So, there's really no bad investigation. I've enjoyed every one that I've done. You enjoy the fact that you're able to help someone in the end. So,
well, that's
yeah.
What it is. Like I said, basically, it's a learning experience. So let's just say you're doing an investigation and nothing happens whatsoever. A few things come out of that. A lot of people right away, when they're doing an investigation and nothing happens, want to get their opinion out there and say, oh, my God, this place is not haunted. Oh, my God, Bigfoot don't exist. Well, that's false. Just because you're out there for 4 hours, 8 hours, whether you're doing a haunting or whatnot, you know what? That doesn't mean it's not happening. It just doesn't mean that every time you go on one of these investigations or on an expedition, something is going to magically happen because you decided to go there and you're sitting there.
Exactly. Sometimes it's nature that it happens. So, but, no, you're right. I think a lot of people think that when they go on investigations, they're automatically going to get paranormal activity, and that's just not the case. You can do a whole night, be in an investigation, and nothing at all.
Right. I mean, you know what? But then again, it's also a learning experience. Even if nothing happens on the investigation, listen, what we do takes a lot of patience. Not every place you decide to investigate is going to be either haunted or, you know, have a UFO come out and shoot you. Show itself, or have an alien come and sit down and have coffee with you. There are many times we've been on many different investigations. You know, when we do the expeditions with cryptozoology, you know, we just don't go for a few hours. We spend, you know, anywhere from a weekend, 3 days to maybe a week out there in the field doing research. And sometimes, you know, you're out there for that much time and nothing happens whatsoever.
What would be one of your places that you would like to go to that you've not been to yet?
Oh, wow. That is tough. If we're talking about hauntings and the spiritual nature, I would love to get to some of those castles going on down in Ireland, the motherland. If we had to go towards the cryptozoology aspect, I would like to probably get to Scotland and investigate the lock.
That would be a fantastic location.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know what, guys? I don't know if maybe one of you guys had it on speaker or whatnot, but I'm getting a lot of echo.
I am too. I'm getting it terribly.
I'm getting the echo back this way too. Blog Talk does this from time to time, so I do apologize. I am outside. I decided to run the show sitting outside this evening, but I've noticed that in the last two or three shows, I've had a lot of feedback.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? It's actually it's pretty interesting because when you talk, we're not getting no feedback. When your co-host talks or I talk, I hear the echo really bad.
I don't know then. Now I can silence my end to see if that'll help.
Okay, why don't we give that a try?
All right, let me quieten my side and see if that works. Okay, if you want to go ahead and continue talking, go ahead, and then I'll do this, and we'll check and see if this is what the problem is, if it's on my end.
I have
sounds
a
good.
Question for you.
Go for it.
Okay. You mentioned UFOs, and being the investigator and researcher that you are, I wondered what your opinion is on the Ancient Aliens, the program that is on the History Channel. They show my son watches that because he's studying ancient history, but they show quite a bit of the extraterrestrials and coming to Earth for various reasons at various times, sightings of UFOs, actual filmage of it, and I wondered what your opinion is on the UFOs, and do you get into depth with the sightings when you see them, and how do you feel about the ancient alien theory?
You know what? I watched the show myself. At first, I was a little against a lot of the opinions, but throughout time, you do the research, because when it comes to investigating UFOs and extraterrestrials, it's really hard doing any field research, in my opinion. That being said, because, I mean, a lot of what you do as far as field research is, not to bring it into a joking matter, but pretty much sit in a cornfield or, a mountain and just view, the surroundings and the sky and see if you see anything. And unfortunately, when you do get the story such as a crash landing or something like that, way and well before you can even get to a location like that, we all do know the government is on top of things, and it's either cleaned up or you can't even get near that investigation. So as far as actually doing any field research, we don't do that much. But I stay behind the scenes, and I do watch these shows, and I do some online research as well, read some books on the subject. And I truly believe after a while that they have a lot to do, extraterrestrials have a lot to do with basically who we are today. I think they had a lot to do with what we are today. When you read into a lot of this stuff, it actually makes a little sense. Now, listen, I know people may start to hate me out there in the world because I just don't buy into the whole religion aspect of who we are and where we came from. It's not plausible for me. I ask myself this one big question. As we all know, something creates something, no matter what that is. God himself, maybe this one particular God, created us, so that may make him our God, so to speak. But something had to create God. Something had to create whatever created God. I don't think you could just pop out of air one day and say, hey, poof, I exist and I'm going to create things.
I agree with you on that.
And it makes a little bit more sense when you listen to a lot of the stories and a lot of the ancient scripts and do the research about how, you know, angels are coming down from heaven, well, where's heaven? Up in the sky. That's where everybody points to. Well, what could that mean? Maybe we have extraterrestrials that are coming down to Earth, and, you know, that's their way of saying, hey, it's angels. They come down, they do good. Hey, there's demons. Hey, maybe, you know, there's falling angels. That's
right.
Their way of saying, hey, maybe we had some extraterrestrials that weren't in the kind nature.
Right. I know that when I have watched Ancient Aliens with my son, and I have listened to Giorgio Tsoukalos and Eric Van Dan, and Nancy Redstar, they all hold the same theory, in, you know, that there's an answer out there for us if, you know, if people, I suppose, in a sense, took it more seriously. I don't know if that's the proper word. If they investigated it more, or if there's anything left to investigate. Now, I mean, they go from the extraterrestrials and the UFOs to the pyramids. The Ryan's Belt and the Line of Giza and those type of things. I know that I have I'm reading right now Philip Copen's book, Ancient Alien Question, and my son is reading Fingerprints of the Gods by Graham Hancock, and he takes, you know, since he's studying ancient history, he takes the UFO theory very, very seriously. And at the same time, he wants to do exactly what you're doing. He would like to go out and research and go out for, like you said, for you know, not just a day, but, you know, a weeks on end, you know, researching, you know, spirits and things like that and UFOs at the same time. So that's why I asked you, you know, what you thought of the ancient alien theory. I think it's very interesting. I think that I think at some point in time, early on, we did have, you know, visitors, you know.
Well, whether we are a product of extraterrestrials. Hold on, let me just cut you off there real quick. Hey, Karen, did you actually come back in and unmute your mic?
I am, yes.
Okay, I think it is on your end, because when you came back in, me and your co-host there started getting the echo in the back.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I know what you're dealing with. I used to be on Blog Talk myself. Could you possibly maybe have your page open, and it's just repeating your show as you're playing it?
Okay.
All right, I'll do that. Let me... Here we go. I wasn't sure if that was what the problem was, but I kind of figured...
You know what? That usually happens, and there you go. It's not happening. You probably have the... Oh, wait. It's starting again.
Oh, great. What about now?
You know what? It's going a little bit. You know what it is? It's actually a very loud echo. It wouldn't bother myself, but it's really hard to even talk and try to converse right now, because I'm hearing everything right back.
Okay.
I hear you twice.
Okay, what I'm going to do is, Jolene, I'm going to let you do this one, and I'm gonna be here, but I'm gonna mute myself out and listen, because it's Blog Talk. We don't want it to mess the show up. But since you've got good reception on both ends there, I'll just sit and run the switchboard tonight.
Oh, how sweet.
Are you sure?
Yes. Go ahead. You asked good questions, so tonight you get to do it, and I'm just gonna sit and listen.
Okay. Thank you. You just took my breath away. I'm just
Don't worry, well, don't worry. Don't be nervous. We're here.
Okay.
We're doing the show. Don't worry.
We'll get this in taken care of so that we won't have that problem again. But everybody enjoy the show, and I'm just going to be here. Have fun, guys.
Sounds like a plan. And you know what? I just want to remind everybody as well. I know Karen's going to be running the switchboard here. If you do have a question, if you want to call maybe with a question, say hi, whatever you want to do, please feel free to call in. I believe the call-in number for this show is 818-475-9250. If you have a question, please feel free, call in and ask away. But like I was saying before, whether we are a product of extraterrestrials or whether they influenced us in a big way, I believe they have a lot to do with who we are today. And you know what? Like you were saying about your son, he wants to get out in there. You know, he's studying ancient history. He wants to get out there and start doing some research and everything. I suggest if you are going to do this research, take into consideration one thing. You have to have lots of patience and a strong passion for the field. Because if you don't have those two, believe me when I say so, you're going to get frustrated very quickly.
Well, then I guess I'm very fortunate because the passion is most definitely there. He has a little girlfriend, and believe me, he told me today that if one had to go, it would be her. And that was all I needed to hear, because I saw the passion in him to get out, and he said he wants to travel, he wants to get out in the field, he wants to investigate, he wants to meet different people from all over, he wants to go into all the things that deal with the ancient alien theory and basically he's in college right now, and he went into college September 10th, and he has gotten nothing but straight 100 pluses on his exams and everything, and it's because the passion is there. And he talks to the people that he knows. It's just it's inside his spirit. It's in him to do this. And he studies everything from not just the ancient alien theory, but also angry spirits that we've went on like little field trips where, you know, I've let him get out of the truck, and he's old enough now to do what he wants, but, you know, and go ahead and do his investigating. We have a lot of haunted places here in Virginia, a lot, and a couple of them I've even talked to Karen about. That one of them isn't so nice. It's called Old House Woods, and he's fearless. He gets out there and he wants to stay for hours and hours and hours just being out there searching for something to answer him back, you know. And it just there's that passion that is definitely there inside of him.
Wow, very nice, very nice. You know what, I was just sitting here thinking, and maybe a possible way we can get Karen back on the show. Karen, if you're there, I don't know if you're calling in to Block Talk through your computer or your cell phone, but if you could do one or the other, what you could do is I can conference you in on my Skype, okay, and you'd be able to come in like that, and it'll probably not have the echo at all if we do that, just so you can actually sit back, enjoy the show, and ask what you need to ask as well. And I think she might have stepped away for a second there.
No, I'm here. I'm here. I'm actually on Skype. So I don't know if.
Are you on Skype? Are you on Skype right now through your computer?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know. Do you have a cell phone or a house phone? I could actually call that. because I have the premium Skype, I can actually call your phone and we can have you on the phone. And you could just mute your computer.
Your computer.
That would probably work. I've got, you can call me in on my cell phone. We'll see if that works.
All right. If you want to shoot me a text, if you want to shoot me a text with your cell phone number, and I'll call you from Skype on that.
Okay. All right.
All right. Sounds good.
Sounds good.
All right. So, like we were talking about, that's great that your son has that passion, and you know he's enjoyed it. He wants to get involved with it. I mean, it's a great field. You know, they're all great fields to get involved with. But one thing I'd like to state out there, you know, people get a little bit annoyed when you add the term paranormal, okay, to cryptozoology or UFOlogy. Thing that people need to understand is, okay, Bigfoot may be a flesh and blood creature. Maybe, like in my opinion, nothing but a primitive species of man, or even if it is a descendant from Gigantopithecus blackie or an unknown ape species. Remember one thing, just because it's flesh and blood, just because it does exist, doesn't mean that it's not paranormal.
Right.
The reason for that is because if you look up the term paranormal, okay, basically it's a general term, okay? It doesn't rule out it's basically anything that's not normal in the normal realm. Okay, I say UFOs and extraterrestrials are not in the normal realm. Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, they're not in the normal realm. So it's still considered paranormal. So, you know, I just want to get that out there because, you know, we even had a problem doing this event that we're doing. The event is called Journeys into the Paranormal, and there's going to be, you know, myself doing a Bigfoot lecture there and a Bigfoot live investigation for all the guests that are there. And somebody got really annoyed saying, how dare you add Bigfoot into the paranormal category? Okay, first off, it's a fundraiser. We're trying to get all the fields together. Secondly, yes, it still can, if you get online before you want to start trash-talking people and doubting people, different terms and explanations, and, you know, you'll find the answers right there in front of you.
That's right.
Okay, so yes, they are all paranormal because it's above the normal realm. But yeah, no, it's definitely a great thing for your son to get in. But it does. I'll be honest with you. It takes a lot of dedication and it takes a lot of time, energy, expenses, you name it, it takes it.
Right. Well, he has taken it very seriously, and that's what he's in college for. And the instructors in the college are very excited because every time he writes an essay or something, it soars. And I guess they don't, you know, they see that they call what he has knowledge. Yes, he has a lot of knowledge, but the word you used is what it is passion. It's passion for something that he literally found himself in, and he wants to explore. He's searching, and it's I'm just really happy for him that he finally found him. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. He found out where he should be in life, and so he went to classes today, and I was just really, you know, happy when I hear him talk about it. And he carries his books everywhere, and all he wants to do is get out there and travel. He wants to get out there with everybody and anybody, you know, that he can team up with and search and you know and look for all the questions and the answers to the questions that people have had for years, hundreds of years, and it's just something that's buried deep inside of them. And and I'm very proud of him. And I always say a prayer all the time that he'll find in life what he's searching for, and this seems to be it.
Thing is, if you want something bad enough, you go to whatever extent to get it. I believe we have Karen on the line. Karen, you with us?
I am with you.
There
much better now.
There you go. Problem fixed.
Ah, thank you.
Not a problem.
So
ask away, guys. So, this is your show. Take it over. I'm only your guest.
Well, I'm fascinated with the concept of UFOs, and you were speaking about Bigfoot. Now, I had a question, and I think Jolene probably knows where this question is. We've discussed Bigfoot quite a few times, but say that he's not a human creature or a living creature. What if it's more of a shape-shifting type creature?
You know what? It's not that I'm against anybody else's opinion or theory. There are many different theories out there of what Bigfoot, Sasquatch, the skunk ape could be. We can get into my personal sighting I had, and this is why I believe we are dealing with a primitive species of man. But there are theories out there that it's an unknown species of undiscovered great ape, descendant from Gigantopithecus is Blackie. There are even the theories that it's an extraterrestrial. Here's a thing that I don't find that puts two and two together. If you're an extraterrestrial, and let's just say, for instance, Karen, where do you live, Karen?
I'm in Texas right now.
Okay, so let's just say Texas. That state was the only state that had these sightings of this creature, okay? And we're researching it, and no other state is having sightings. It could be a little bit more plausible, because then you could say to yourself, hey, you know what? Maybe these creatures came down to this one particular area because it had something they needed. Maybe they crash-landed. There's a couple of different options there that could have happened. But when you're getting sightings from state to state, I believe the only state that does not have sightings of this being is Hawaii.
Wow.
They're all over the place. People are seeing them on a regular basis. It just doesn't sound too plausible for me to be an ET that's in every state hiding in the woods. My other thing is when it comes to the whole, could it be a descendant from Gigantopithecus is Blackie or great ape? It's possible. A few reasons why I don't say that. For instance, that gorilla, okay, was nothing but a myth in its own until 1907, I believe, till it was actually documented that these creatures do exist. Okay, let's say a year after that, 2 years after that, you had scientists, you had researchers able to get out into the woods and find these gorilla pods, be able to track them down. Well, now we're talking about thousands of years of hieroglyphics, scriptures, legends, stories of this creature we call Bigfoot that exists. Yet, to this day, you can't get into the woods or the forestry and track down this creature. Well, that just goes to show you this creature has to have an intelligence level very, very similar to ours, if not more sophisticated, in order to keep away from us as humans.
Mm-hmm.
So
we'll
get into my sighting here real quick. Now, what got me into cryptozoology, I guess probably the first experience ever, was when I was a young kid, my father being in the military, we used to go to this one place called West Point. It's a military base, Army base, and they had a campground called Round Pond. So we used to go up there for a few summers and go camping. One particular night, after a fire, we were all in the tent. My father passes out. So does my sister. I thought my mother passed out as well. All of a sudden, I hear my mother holler on the top of her lungs, "There's an effing ape looking through." Well, she said gorilla. "There's an effing gorilla looking through the top of the tent." Now, we all know that there's the mesh netting on the top of the tents, and what she was seeing was probably the indentation of something looking in. Well, my father jumps up, grabs the sidearm, goes outside the tent, and, you know, nothing's there. Okay, well, could it have been imagination? Not highly. My mother's nowhere near that. And I believe my teachers listen. My teacher from sixth grade is listening to the radio show tonight, Mr. Bruce Altimore. And he knows my mother personally as well. He could probably back that statement up where my mother's not going to elaborate on stuff like that. But, you know, throughout years, I didn't pay attention to that because, hey, I was a young kid and, you know, interested in girls and, you know, hanging out with friends and doing everything else. But as I got older and, you know, starting to get into the research, I looked back at that incident. And now I say to myself, okay, well, you're on a military base. There's a few options that could have possibly occurred. Could you have had somebody dress up in a costume or something of the sort and come mess around by the tent? Well, then you say to yourself, would somebody be that stupid on a military campground, people carrying sidearms or any type of weaponry, to come to your tent and start messing around? One, you know, you got to be pretty darn stupid to do that. And two, you would think you would have that level of respect where people are not going to do this to you, you know, your fellow campers out there.
Right.
And then secondly, the other thing I was saying to myself was, could we be dealing with a bear? Upstate New York? They're known for their black bears. Well, if it was a black bear that was able to look into the top of the tent, not too sure it'd be able to stand for a period of time in like a 45-degree angle, and it would have to lean its body weight onto the tent, which you would have saw the whole tent pushing inward, if not caving in the tent. So, yeah, you know. An explanation that is possible, could this have been this creature, this being, that everybody calls Bigfoot? So, yeah, getting into the research, I was a bit skeptical as well, and I believe on any investigation, and here's a little advice for your son that's interested in getting into the fields. Any investigation you do, whether it be UFOlogy, cryptozoology, parapsychology, keep an open mind with a healthy dose of skepticism.
Okay,
because not everything's a Bigfoot, not everything's a ghost, not everything's an alien. Just keep a healthy dose of skepticism on any account. And that's what I was doing for a while. Once we formed the team, we were doing expeditions left and right, weekends for weeks, going out in the field, doing many different areas such as Vermont, upstate New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. And, you know, we were doing a lot of research, and, yeah, you know, I've been in the forestry and the woods, you know, since a child. I know my local animal wildlife that's around in the areas. I know the sounds that they make. Yeah, once in a while, we would hear sounds that just didn't add up. But still, I can't outright say, oh, my God, that's a Bigfoot.
Right.
We came across some questionable tracks throughout the years. I think one in particular call that we winded up getting was at the Vermont case, and it said that they make this whooping sound, this whooping call. And, yes, you know, we may be standing there feeling like a bunch of idiots going whoop, whoop out in the woods, but, you know, we're sitting around the fire, and I started doing it for a little bit, and we winded up getting this call back. And it sounded pretty much just like that. So it was really interesting. But, again, I can't tell you, hey, that's Bigfoot. You know, that's what we're dealing with. So throughout the years, you know, I became pretty known in the field, and I started talking to Mr. Jan Allen. He is the founder of GBRI, Georgia Bigfoot Research and Investigations out there. And he invited me to come down to a location in Georgia. I can't disclose the information.
Right.
To do a 4-day expedition out there. Apparently this area has a lot of activity. When it concerns Bigfoot. So we were like, okay, you know what, set up for it. And we went to Georgia. I had a team of four going with us. And you know what, we were out there for probably about 15 minutes. And, you know, before you know it, we're unloading the truck. One of the other research members on GBRI turned around, looked down the road and said, oh, my God, one just crossed the road. And in my head, I was like, here we go. Everything's a Bigfoot. So we finished unpacking and all of that, and, you know, we winded up checking out this area, and to our surprise, there were a set of tracks. We were actually able to get cast from these. Well, as we were there, I decided to walk to where these tracks were coming from. We came across a large, probably about anywhere from 8 to 10 feet long tree, top of a tree, it looked like, upside down with two other branches coming for it, placed perfectly on this other tree that was still living, still standing, still there. Now, we looked around, of course, and, you know, saying, hey, maybe it could have fell off of another tree. That wasn't the case. We did look for maybe, you know, a drag trail that somebody dragged it there, because this was pretty heavy. No human being could have picked it up, lifted it. That wasn't the case. And then as we're looking at this, taking pictures, I noticed another small tree formation with two trees intertwined with each other. Then as we're taking pictures of that, I noticed another one. And then I noticed another one, a third one. It turns out that these three smaller ones were in a triangular perimeter around this larger formation, if that's what you want to call it.
Right.
So we all went back to base camp, and we decided to split up into two groups. I was going to take some GBRI members, and I was giving Jan some of Northeastern Anomalous Research members. And I decided to where that formation was, we were going to walk straight down vertically down this mountain, and they were going to take the trail down the mountain. And at one point, we were going to meet up. Well, it just so happens that going up on this investigation, coming down, I believe, which was the flu, it was really bad. And so we made it down about a mile. And I turned around to the rest of the guys, and I said, listen, I'm going to head back up to base camp. I'm feeling it right now. You know, I wasn't going to be able – like, I could have made it down the extra mile, but I wasn't going to be able to make 2 miles back up. So they agreed. And mind you, I'm going to put this in place here and now that we're from New York, so we're not really allowed to carry guns. And if we had guns, we're not allowed to really travel with them out of state.
Right.
So we went up there basically just, you know, our Bowie knives and our machetes and stuff like that. So Jan actually let me hold on to one of his spare sidearms, which I believe was a .45. So me being from New York and not really holding a gun or playing with guns, I kind of felt like RoboCop. So, and I didn't mind being by myself. It was during the day, didn't have a problem with it. Base camp was only about a mile away uphill. So as I start walking out, another thing I want to put in place here is, as we were walking down, we did come across some mountain lion tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So now, as I'm walking back up, back to base camp, okay, a few, you know, probably about 10, 15, maybe even 20 minutes later, I noticed something above the ridgeline kind of possibly following me. So I looked back, and I didn't see or hear anything. So I kept walking again, and I stopped, and I heard kind of those, you know, like those extra steps always, like, behind you.
Yeah.
And I looked back and really didn't see much. So right away, I'm thinking in my head, I'm a little nervous now because the first thing that pops into my head is, could it be this mountain lion that we saw the tracks of? So I take a step, and I'm looking, and I'm thinking to myself, knowing what I know is, you know, I think by now this mountain lion would have made the attempt to try to attack me. It had every opportunity to, as my back was, you know, towards him the whole time, and it didn't. So, you know what, I don't know what came over me. It's one of those things where, you know, I guess I use certain calls that you hear and people say that it is a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot. So I never really I dabbled with the calls, but I just never knew if what we were doing was the right thing. You know, are we really hollering back and mimicking these calls? And if they are Sasquatch calls, what are we actually saying to them? Are we telling them, hey, come on, let's fight? Are we telling them, hey, come on, I'm ready to meet one of your girlfriends? You know, we don't know what we're saying to them.
Right.
So I don't know why, but I just started talking regular, raising my voice a little bit, and I had a canteen filled with purple Powerade. Well, I took a swig of that, and it was really hot there, and I said, oh, man, you know, hollering it out a little bit, it must be really hot here. Oh, man, this drink tastes so good. And I tilted it and poured some on the floor to show whatever could be watching me that there's fluid in this my little device, my little canteen. So I closed it back up, and I laid it up on the trail, and I kept walking. I radioed the guys, and I said, listen, guys, I left my canteen on the trail. If you can do me a favor on your way back up, grab it for me. They said, all right. Well, I'm finally back at base camp now, and it's about 45 minutes later, and all of a sudden I get a call on the walkie from the team. They're coming back up, and they said, it was actually two of them that were ahead of them, and said, "Hey, Bruce, by any chance did you leave a turtle shell on your canteen?" And I was like, "Wait, what are you saying?" It's like, "A turtle shell." Like, "No, what are you talking about?" They said, "There is a turtle shell on top of your canteen."
Oh.
Well, I walked back down because I had to see this for myself, and to my surprise, the canteen was moved about 25 feet from where I left it, on its side, open and emptied. Okay, now we did look for any fluids that could have been spilt somewhere, and that wasn't the case. So I assume whatever drank the fluid. And there was a turtle shell on top of it. Turns out it was an eastern box turtle shell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this turtle shell was beautifully cleaned out inside. It didn't have the bottom. It was only the top of the shell. So we all get back to base camp, and we're talking about it. And here's the one conclusion that we came up with that made a little sense. Well, when you think about it, I left it my canteen. Okay, it's my cup, so to speak, as I'm in the field. It's my source where I carry fluids.
Right.
Well, what made sense was that this turtle shell could have been whatever bean. It could have been their cup. It could have been their bowl that maybe they used to scoop up water or something
right.
with. So it looked to me that there was a gifting process going on. Okay. Well, the rest of the day goes on. And all of a sudden, Mr. Jan Allen turns around and says, down the opposite trailway, he saw one of them come up above onto the trail and dodge back into the bush. Well, me and one of his members, Mr. Tony, took off running right to where he said. We took off into the bush. Now, believe it or not, for those of you who never been to Georgia, when you get into some of those forestry areas, oh, my God, it's deep. It feels like when you're watching those shows and you're in, like, the Amazon, how deep it could get. Now, Tony is, like, a 6'7", really tall guy. You know, I'm a short, stocky guy. There's no way, you know, you could really miss us. Until it came to the point when we're walking back there, and I couldn't see 3-4 feet in front of me. That's how thick it got. And at that point, we both said, listen, it's a little unsafe right now because, yes, we do have coyote. Yes, we do have bear. Yes, we do have mountain lion. Okay, we don't want to walk up on something that's going to notice us way before we notice it and become something's lunch or be attacked. So we decided to walk back. Nothing much happens the rest of that day, this being Saturday. Not much happens. I was really sick, so I end up passing out really early. They left me alone all night, and I slept through the night. Wake up the following morning, and one of the guys, Mr. Ron, who was on, I believe it was 4 or 5 o'clock watch, because we were all on different time shifts to take watch around base camp. And he started telling us that at about the time when the sun first starts to shine, you know, you get that bluish midnight kind of feel, the colorization within the woods, the forest areas. And he said at that point he saw this large, dark figure by where we had all the cookware and all the food.
Oh.
He says it stood there for a few minutes, and he didn't want to pay it no mind, but he looked over, and then once he did that, this thing darted through base camp, and it actually ducked down, he said, behind these bushes. But he didn't say nothing. He didn't want to do nothing because most of us, when we're out there, we want to observe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we don't want to go running down the creature. We don't want to go killing this creature. You know, at least in my opinion, I'm no kill, and we want to observe. So I respect Ron for sitting there and observing. But as he's telling us this, I'm looking around, and I particularly went behind these bushes that he said this creature ducked down behind. And to us, there was a bunch of, and you could tell it must have ducked and put a lot of weight because there was some pretty deep tracks that were left that, once again, we were able to cast. So now the rest of the day goes by, and I took a couple of guys out because my whole thing is, all right, I'm not out there to just see a Bigfoot like many people get into this for. I'm not out there to make a dollar on this and write a brand new book. I'm out there to research. So my thing is, okay, we're in a location that apparently up to now, I'm still skeptical, but it's having some activity. And it's said to have activity in this area. Well, if they're here, they must be here year-round. What are they eating? What is the nutrients here that this creature could be eating? They have to have some sort of protein. They have to have a water source. So
yeah.
I took a team around. And, yes, I mean, throughout the 4 days we were there, I saw, I believe it was one, maybe two groups of deer in the area. So I wanted to see what else could there be.
Right.
And, you know, we were looking around for different possible berry bushes that could have been in the area, lifting up lots of rocks and fallen logs and stumps and stuff like that to see what kind of grubs could be in the area. Didn't come across too much. So not much was going on. You know, it's Sunday now. We're all hanging out. You know, we're leaving Monday. The NEAR team is leaving Monday. So we decided to split up into two groups at this point, each equalize each other's members, and go out and go separate ways down this trail and do some extensive research. Last night we're there. Well, we decided going up this trail by base camp to hang one of those cam lights, those glow sticks, every other tree. I believe we hung about four or five of them. Now, when you open up these cam lights, they come with the nylon string, and that's what we were doing. We were tying them around branches on these trees, every other tree. So, you know, it's a little bit later in the night, and we send the one group up there. Myself, Jan Allen, Dana, and Renda decided to go the opposite way. And we're probably there for about a half hour. We got the camera rolling, and all of a sudden, the camera battery dies. Not saying it had anything to do with possibly what was entailed to come next, but camera battery dies out of nowhere. It was a fresh battery. It was fully charged. So I decided I have a pair of Generation 3 night vision, military-grade night vision monocular. So I kind of felt like RoboCop. I mean, I had this. I had a sidearm on me. I didn't care. We weren't too far. I believe 100 yards maybe from base camp. Weren't too far. I said, okay, you know what? I'll go run and grab the spare battery and be right back. So I'm walking, not a problem. All of a sudden, I think I get about 100, maybe 150 feet away from base camp. And to the left side of me, right off the trail, behind some bushes, I see like what seems to be two sets of glowing eyes. Well, now I'm thinking in my head, okay, what could this be? You know, what are we looking at right now? I'm turning around and trying to cross things off. Well, mountain lions, I don't know if it's going to be a mountain lion because mountain lions don't normally hang out in a pair like that. Could it be coyotes? Well, you know what? Coyotes, you'd see a lot more than two sets of eyes, and you'd hear them. You'd know they're around. Could it be a bear? Well, there's two sets of eyes, and you know what? Unless it had possibly a cub, you're not going to see two bears hanging out like that with each other on a regular basis. So then in my head, I was like, okay, so maybe we're dealing with some deer. So I started hooting and hollering and making some noise, you know, trying to get these things to get a little skittish and take off, and they didn't. So I'm getting a little nervous at this point. And I went to turn slightly to the right to look towards base camp, see how much further I had to go. And all of a sudden, right there on the left-hand side of the trail in front of a tree goes this large, hairy creature. I'm looking at it. You know, the following day, we wind up measuring from where I was to where this beam was standing, and it turned out to be 47 feet. So we're looking at each other. I'm seeing this thing detail for detail. I believe me, you know, you set out doing research and, you know, saying, hey, I'm going to look for a Bigfoot. You really don't know what you're getting yourself into, and you really don't know how you're going to react mentally, physically, when you come across this beam. I actually did go to reach for the sidearm because I did get – I will admit I was very scared at that time. Did go to reach for the sidearm, but for some reason, I don't know, I could not. All it was nothing more than a button that I had to pop to get the sidearm out, and I couldn't do it. So I get to the walkie, and in my head, I'm turning around saying, guys, get the hell over here ASAP right now. You know, this thing's here. Well, I find out later that when I actually walkied them, they didn't know what I was saying. I was speaking gibberish, but they knew something was wrong. So Tony, he was the first one to arrive next to me. And the funny thing is, as I'm looking at this creature, this being's looking at me, it's not making any movement whatsoever. Could it have been that this creature didn't realize I could see him, so he wasn't going to make any sudden movement to make any noise or anything like that? Possibility. So as Tony comes running down enough and close enough to where you could start hearing his feet pounding against the gravel, he takes the night vision, and I believe he looks, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe he even seen this thing taking off or dodging behind a tree, something of the sort. Well, after that, I winded up collapsing onto the floor. I honestly was, and I will admit, I was crying because it was just everything, all these emotions just hitting at once was just incredibly intense. And they got me on camera crying, so I'll never let them live that down. So now, hey, wow, it can't get better than this, you know? Roll back at base camp, and I ended up asking Jan, do you mind if my team takes first watch? Come Monday morning, we were leaving, and we had a 16-hour drive ahead of us. So I wanted to get myself and team asleep, get a good rest. So he said, sure. So we wound up taking first watch. And one of these team members, Charlie, looking in the direction in a chair, positioned to look towards where we hung the cam lights. And I was looking positioned to where I had the sighting. So we're both looking down opposite trails. Now, opposite directions of the trails. And now, some time into it, all of a sudden I hear Charlie say, dude, the glow stick, the cam light closest to base camp is moving. And I turned around and it did in fact move. From where we hung it, it probably dropped a couple of feet closer to the ground. Well, at that point, you know, again, I'm still fairly nervous and I'm just like, oh, okay, well, we're going to leave this here till they get up for their watch, the other team, and we can check it out then. Well, you know, the night's going by and it's really interesting because there would be times we had the fire lit really nice, lighting up the area. And it's just funny because it was silence. You didn't even hear crickets, you know, chirping around. And then once the fire starts dying down, you would hear things rustling all around us, all around base camp. It was pretty unnerving at that point. All of a sudden, I start hearing lots of movement and like twigs kind of breaking and stuff like that towards the far back where I had my team's base camp set up. Well, I stand up and I get behind the Astro van because Jan and Render sleep in their Astro van. And I get behind there and I stand up and I start hooting and hawing back there. It goes on for about another minute or two and then it stops. Well, at that point, I was like, all right, you know what? Enough's enough. I wake Jan up. I wake everybody up and tell them, let's go. You guys get on your watch. So they get up and we go walk over to where the cam light was. And it turns out that the nylon string was broken in half and wrapped around a smaller branch towards the ground. Like a fern next to it, which is pretty interesting because, you know what, if it was nothing more than, let's say, a possum, deer, or something else playing with it, it's not going to break it in half and then have the ability to wrap it around something else. All right, so we're all talking and everybody's gathering firewood for the next shift for everybody to watch. And me and Dana go to head into the tent. Well, as I'm shining my flashlight and we're walking in that direction, something caught my eye. Well, I turn around and tell Dana, hey, Dana, do me a favor. Go into the tent, you know, get ready to sleep. I'm going to go speak to Jan for a minute. Because if I would have showed Dana this, she probably wouldn't have got to bed. And, you know, again, we needed the sleep. We had a long drive. Well, I go over to Jan and I tell Jan, do me a favor, Jan. Go to the right-hand side of my tent. Okay, act like you're still gathering firewood and take a look at what's there. He does that. Now, Jan's been doing this for 30-plus years. He comes over to me and he goes, you know what? That sends chills down my spine. It actually turned out to be a formation, a tree formation, structured right next to my tent, which wasn't there before that because, I mean, listen, we scouted, you know, we took that area, we cleaned it all up in order to set our tent and everything like that, and it 100% would have been noticed. And then to back that up was we actually took pictures of the tent the following day when we first arrived there, and then you know, we went back and looked at these pictures to see if this was here and it wasn't there. So it was pretty interesting, you know, altogether what happened. So now, like I said, having my sighting, I still am a skeptic as far as a researcher standpoint when you're researching different claims. But I do know these creatures are real. I do know they exist. I do know they're out there. You know, now my research gets picked up a notch. It's not about going out to see one of these creatures to find out if they're real. Now it's about figuring out their habits, you know, how to communicate with them, pick up different traits that they might have. You know, now the research really begins. It gets picked up a notch. But the reason why I stand by why I said I believe it's no more than a primitive species of man is because of what I saw. I mean, I had a sketch done of what I saw. And Alex Evans, her name is. She's a fantastic sketch artist. When she sent me back the sketch, it made my hair stand up. Like I was really seeing this being, this creature, for a second time. It was so detailed for detail. She does such amazing work. But I do have a sketch, and in that sketch, it's detail for detail. It looks very human-like in the face. Yes, the one thing that does throw you off is the body hair. Okay, it is covered in body hair. You know, from head to toe, it is covered in body hair. But you could see the face to where, you know, I noticed a lot of people's sightings and stuff like that. They say that there's a lot of hair on the face. There is a lot of hair on the face. But you could see enough of the face to make out the details perfectly. And it changed my outlook on the research in that field for a while. Now, I'm not saying that every sighting of this creature has to be what I saw. There are different regions, different states. Maybe they evolved to look a little different, to adapt to their surroundings, to adapt to nature and the environment where they are. And I'm also not saying that every one of these creatures that we may come across within is a primitive species of man. Could we possibly have an unknown ape species out there that roams North America? It's very possible. Yeah. We could have that as well, Eva, as well as a primitive species of man.
That would be interesting if that was ever found to be, you know, that it was a different species of human. I would love to be able to see that if they actually came in contact, someone did, and they were able to prove it, which I know you said that they are, and I've never seen them, but I'm very fascinated by Bigfoot. But for them to actually prove to the world that they are actually there, you know, well, I myself would love to be able to see one.
Here's the thing, okay. Apparently, from within the Bigfoot community, the scoop that's going around is there is a project. I'm not going to mention anybody's name, but there is a DNA study going on that's going to be world-breaking news and prove to the public and everybody out there that these creatures do exist. Okay, there's actually flesh and blood DNA as well as hair, stool, and samples out there being processed. And, you know, I understand, I think for like the last year and a half, maybe even 2 years, maybe a little shorter than that, not too sure, that this study is supposed to come out. And I understand there's a lot of work behind it. It takes time. So hopefully within maybe the next 6 months, this news will come out and it will be proven to everybody. But my fear when this does come out, okay, there is a lot of pros and cons here. We have to do something to protect
them.
These creatures, these beings. But unfortunately, and many will agree, us as humans destroy what we touch. Mm-hmm. We ruin everything out there. I almost am at that point where I hope it never comes out. I hope the DNA study never comes out. I hope we never find a body to truly 100% prove the existence of these creatures. Because then, at that point, I think that might be the downfall of these creatures once man starts getting involved. You got to look at it this way. They've been around for thousands of years. Okay, there's stories, hieroglyphics, lots of stuff that proves that these creatures have been around for thousands of years. They lasted thus far. Why do we need to get involved?
Exactly. And I think you're right. To do the DNA kit would be good. One thing that way would back up, you know, a lot of the Bigfoot research that's been going on. It took them in,
I was going to say that three times fast.
I can't. I'll get done bad real quick. But they, you know, for them to do the research and actually prove, in one way it would be good, in another way I agree it would be bad, because it would be like open season, you know, for someone to get the first Bigfoot, you know, bring them in dead or alive or whatever. But, you know, I personally wouldn't want to see that. And I don't I don't doubt that they exist. I'm certain that they do, you know, but they've been able to thrive all this time without any real contact with us.
They did not need intervention with us, okay? And they've been able to thrive and survive. So why start now? Now, I do know some people's concerns out there that they want to make the general public aware of these creatures. And it is a great idea. When these creatures are proven to exist and, you know, we don't want a mass hysteria out there. I am aware of that. And it would be nice, you know, to maybe make some pamphlets, almost like when you're at a park ranger's office and you're about to go for your hike or your camping trip for the weekend. You usually check in with them. Maybe something saying, hey, they're here, they exist, yada, yada, just to give you some insight of what maybe to expect. That could be something possible, and I can understand that, but still, in my opinion, just leave it all alone. Let it be. You know, if you want to get out there and research, hey, get out there and research. Do it for your own personal self-gratification to get out there and research. Don't look to jump in there and get the best evidence so you could prove the existence. Don't look to make a dollar off of it to write your next book, to make your next DVD. Okay, get some personal gratification out there in your research. It's not about the money.
No.
Exactly. It's about learning, nothing. It's more or less learning and satisfying your goal to do the research and learn something new, you know, and have your own proof for yourself. You know, you want to prove it to you, to yourself. It doesn't necessarily have to be for everybody else.
Right. You know, and here's the thing, too. I want to bring up a point here. Now, yeah, you know what? I'm sure everybody like, oh, my God, government conspiracy. I do believe the government has these creatures in their possession already. The thing is, I don't know if they'll ever let something like that out. I don't know if they'll ever let it come to the public ears, because if this thing is proven, okay, to be a species of man, okay, if this thing is proven maybe to be the missing link, if this thing is proven to maybe be extraterrestrial, excuse me, I think at that point it might actually cancel out religion. From what you learn as a little child, what goes back hundreds and thousands of years, religion, you know, I think it might cancel it out. When you think about it,
yeah.
Do they want to do that? Okay, I was born and raised Catholic, but I'm the first one to say Catholicism is basically just a higher version of your Brooklyn Mafia, so to speak. You know, they run some things. You know, they got a lot of things going there. And that would definitely kill out Catholicism.
Mm-hmm. It would in a big way. And, you know, it would a Native American belief, they are referred to as the ancient ones. So it's not like it's something that just come up over the last 30, 40 years as far as Bigfoot goes. It goes way back to the pictoglyphs that are painted on the rocks.
Right.
So
right.
There has to be something to it. I mean, it can't be just a myth. I mean, I don't believe it's a myth.
You know what? Here's something a little interesting, okay? Now, this day and age, okay, we have cell phones. We have computers. We have, you know, 100 different ways of technology to communicate with one another. Okay, for instance, what we're doing now, we have a radio show, okay? I'm a guest on a radio show relating my experience, my encounter, and you could have hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe 5 listeners out there, you know, from around the world. Back in those times, okay, you know, hundreds of years ago, maybe longer, you didn't have none of this technology, none of this communication. So in my sense, it's, let's just say, hey, Bruce from New York experienced this. There's, you know, hieroglyphics here. They wrote down what they saw, you know, painted it, an image of it or whatever. And then John Doe from, you know, California pretty much wrote down the same thing on a wall, drew a picture of the same thing on a wall. How is that possible? Hundreds and hundreds of miles away from each other. You have everybody.
It wouldn't be possible.
Excuse me?
I was just going to say it would not be possible as far as a communication between the two at those distances. So, therefore, it could be truth in what they have painted on the rocks, in the wall.
Right. So,
I both saw the same thing.
There is lots of truth out there. And here's another reason why I believe we're dealing with a species of man. When you do go back and listen to a lot of the legends and stories of Native Americans, okay, there's a few different opinions that they had and stated that this creature was evil, okay, it was bad luck, it was a demon. Then you had your tribes that stated that this creature was a godsend, so to speak. It came and helped. It was the protector of the forest. Mm-hmm. Then you have your stories and legends that these creatures were ape people. They used to communicate with the people, trade with ape people. So something along those lines gives a little bit of credibility to why I believe we are dealing with a primitive species of man.
Exactly. And another thing, and I don't mean to change the subject because I know that we were kind of speaking at one point, I believe you mentioned something about UFOs earlier on. They even talk about an iron bird. I've been doing some research with that. So, you know, and it was referred to as an iron bird or a bird that spewed fire or what have you. So, you know, it very well could have been an extraterrestrial.
Well, you can't seriously believe that between all the planets we have, the different galaxies we have, that we are the only things to really exist.
Mm-mm.
Okay, if you believe that, you're very closed-minded, you know, and it's just it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense that we are the only things to exist. Human beings are, you know, the only intelligent life forms out there. You know, it. Come on now, you know, take your head out of your butt and, you know, stop being so closed-minded.
Right. I agree, and I think that a lot of people, you know, to a certain degree, are very closed-minded to these topics.
You know,
you kind of have to open yourself up to it.
The funny thing, Karen, you know, and it's really sad to say that people in parapsychology, okay, people in cryptozoology, people in UFOlogy, most and a majority of your people are so closed-minded that it boggles me why you can be so closed-minded when you're in these fields. It doesn't make sense why you would be that closed-minded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in a field that's above, you know, normal. You know, it's abnormal. But you know what it is? It comes back to everybody being competitive, everybody having their own set ways, and that's what it is no matter what. Well, you know what,
exactly.
Ben? My hat's off to you. Do what you need to do as far as research. I'm very open-minded, okay? I'll listen to stories. And again, I'm not canceling out whatsoever that these creatures could be extraterrestrial. These creatures could be a great undiscovered ape species or something like that. It's only my personal opinion from what I've seen that we're dealing, and from when you do a little bit of the research, you know, in my opinion, that we're dealing with it. Could I be wrong? Yeah, 100% I could be wrong. Okay? Who knows? It might be proven one day that this creature is nothing of any of those three categories. You never know what's out there. You can't be closed-minded within the field.
No.
Exactly. And there are so many species that have not been found, and they're finding new species every day. So anything is possible with this. I mean, as far as being open-minded, I'm a very open-minded person because I deal with the paranormal. I'm very fascinated with Bigfoot. With UFOs, you know, all of it, because, you know, I think there's a very big possibility, you know, that there's more out there than what we gather, you know, other than what we see on a day-to-day basis. There's more.
Right. Well, no, I agree 100%.
But what is your opinion on the Mothman theory and the sightings of Mothman throughout the United States and the world, for that matter?
Can you state that again, please?
I said, what is your theory on the, what is your you how do you feel about the Mothman theory? I mean, an entity that, in my eyes, that has, and heart, that has been on Earth for, and in the sky as well, and, you know, questions of where it came from, where does it go, where in, and there have been different sightings all over the United States and the world, for that matter, and I wondered what your opinion was on Mothman.
You know what? It's a lot of the different eyewitness accounts of Mothman that you hear about are very jumbled sometimes. You know, one looks this way, the other one looks that way. Some of them do have some similarities to it. I believe, again, my own opinion, that we are dealing with something in the ET category, an extraterrestrial, with the abilities that is said that this creature has, with the different aspects. I believe some say it has wings, some say it doesn't. I think we could be dealing with a possible ET. You know, and again, even we have something close to me, basically right over the bridge, called the Jersey Devil. Okay.
Uh-huh.
There's a couple of different theories behind that. You know, I'm not really going to get into the whole theory of the Leeds, you know, where something along the lines of the Leeds family had 12 children. They weren't supposed to have a 13th, but they did, and it was born to the devil. So there you go, the Jersey Devil. But then, you know, there's something along the sorts. And I had another experience in Pennsylvania at a younger age. My grandparents wound up renting a trailer out there in this community called Eagle Lake. And one particular day, my mother went up to the clubhouse right by the little beach part of the lake and went to call my father. So me and my sister went down to the lake, and we were playing, wrestling around, and, you know, trying to catch minnows and stuff. And all of a sudden, I look across the lake. Now, the lake's not a big lake whatsoever. You're lucky, I believe, if it's a city block across. Okay, it's pretty small. So you can see the tree line really good. And right above this tree line was this fairly large flying creature, large wingspan. The head was really big, but what stood out the most about what I was seeing was the tail. The tail was very long, and towards the end of it, you could make it out. It was like a spade shape, which was very interesting. You know, my that day never really went back up there or anything because, you know, she started crying. She was scared to death that she's seeing this large, you know, creature flying here. What did we see? Could it be what people were seeing in Jersey? The Jersey Devil. My personal opinion on that is we might be dealing with a once thought to be extinct species of pterodactyl, or, you know, a flying bird species.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you feel about when people say they see glowing red eyes and not to look at the glowing red eyes, that the red eyes are what basically can bring a person down? That almost sounds evil. It almost sounds demonic. In all reality, in my heart, I don't think that whatever Mothman may be, an entity, extraterrestrial, what have you, it is still something with feelings, with to me, with a spirit, it has the last sighting was the Blue Ridge Mountains, which is only about an hour and a half from me, and that was the last sighting of Mothman was the Blue Ridge, and people here in this area still talk about, you know, how they'd like to go up and see if they could see Mothman, you know, but that doesn't mean that he stayed there.
Here's the thing. You got to ask yourself something, okay? If it's something from this world, okay, and I'll relate back to, because I don't know too much, I'll be honest, I don't know too much about the Mothman, but I'll relate to the Jersey Devil. For a while, there was nonstop sightings of this creature killing people, hurting people, sightings, up the gazoo. Then all of a sudden, oddly enough, 2009 comes along, and that's it. You don't hear nothing about it anymore. Okay, there was even a research team dedicated to just the Jersey Devil.
Right.
Okay, and I even looked into that, visited their website, nothing on there since 2009.
Right.
You got to ask yourself, you know, could it be demonic? Could it be an angel, you know, angelic? You know, again, if you're doing what I'm doing, and I'm not too much into that whole demon and angels and heaven and hell, could it have been a species that could have died off?
Mm-hmm.
Could it have been mistaken identity?
Mm-hmm.
Could it have been an elaborated story that just picked on and, you know, a town decided to make some money off of it? Tourist
right.
attraction.
Right.
You know, there's many different things that go into it. But again, you know, with the eyewitness accounts and the stories behind Mothman, I think we might be dealing in that factor more kind of an extraterrestrial.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. That's a good possibility with that. I agree. I know that you have a fundraiser that's coming up.
Correct. Yeah, we are, myself and the NEAR team, teamed up, had the pleasure of teaming up with Gail Tiki from Signs Paranormal out in Maryland. We're actually doing a two-day conference. It's called Journeys into the Paranormal, and the conference is going to have some amazing people, yes, including myself. I'm going to be doing a Bigfoot lecture and a live investigation, taking people out in the field. We're having the Boy Scouts of America come down because they showed a lot of interest, from what I'm told, in the Bigfoot category here. So I'm going to be helping them out as well as giving a lecture and an investigation. We're going to have some other amazing people there. A real good friend of mine, Mr. Chuck Hester, he's an international psychic medium. He's also a radio host. He does phenomenal work. He's a great psychic out there. He's going to be coming down, doing a lecture himself and giving free readings to people. We have an author by the name of Andy Nunez. He has a book out there now called Mysteries of the Eastern Shore. We have the one, the only Rosemary Ellen Gelly coming down. She's been in the field, and she knows a lot within all the fields coming down. She's written many books. She's going to be doing a lecture as well. We have the one and only Bill Bean coming down, another author. You know, great guy, compassionate guy, awesome to meet. You guys want to come down and just check this event out. We even have, I believe, Antonio Paris from the Aerial Phenomenon. He's a MUFON investigator. He's going to be doing a lecture there as well. And it is, like I'm stating, a fundraiser. It's going to help out CBEC, the Chesapeake Bay Environmental Center in Graysonville, Maryland. Okay, it's going to be November 2nd and 3rd. Like I said, we have the Bigfoot investigation going on Friday night. Come Saturday, we're going to have a lot of the other lectures going on, as well as Saturday night on the property that we're going to be throwing this. There's a couple of really cool haunted locations that they have there, that it's going to be included in the price when you get your ticket. Tickets are only $70 for 2 days. Can't go wrong there, because there are lots of conferences out there. They are good, but they are quite expensive. And this year, $70 for 2 days. You get all these investigations included. Amazing people within the fields doing lectures and all. You know, Signs has done a great job. Gail and Tina, you know, they're the founder of Signs. They've done a great job here. So basically, it's a great cause. You know, especially within the cryptozoology field, I'd love to see a lot of people, enthusiasts and researchers there, come to join the fun. I mean, listen, we're out there in the field. We're researching in our forestry, in our wildlife areas and stuff. You know, what better way to give back a little bit than help this amazing cause? You know, it's just an amazing, you know, you get lectures, investigations, all of that in this location. It don't get better than that.
Well, I think that's fantastic that that's being done. And people are going to learn. That's another thing. When you go to these events like this, take a lot back with you when you leave, because you're learning something about it, maybe something that you wasn't aware of before. And I highly recommend people to go to this event that Bruce is part of. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
You know what? Here's the thing about this event. You know, it's not just an event to come meet, greet, and hear people talk. Okay? It's a good cause. You want to help out. You want to give something back. You don't have to live in Maryland to give something back. You're still helping out a great cause. You know, so you're getting investigations. You're getting lectures. You're getting the meet and greet. You're getting to see people. You might even get some free psychic readings. You know, you're getting everything in one for 2 days of good people, some really good knowledge. You're going to leave there with a bunch of knowledge within all the fields. And you're getting to meet some good people and just hang out. And, you know, we're going to do like a little powwow Saturday night after the investigations, get a little fire going, everybody getting around the fire, just getting to know each other. Okay, we don't want this to be an event where you come and, hey, see you next year. We want this to be a never-ending experience for you. Okay, we want you to friend us, you know, become family, get into the community. You know, we're all about helping out and doing what we can for anybody within the field. So I'm telling you, if you want to come to an event, okay, if you're saving up to do something really just out of the ordinary, you know, no pun intended, come to this Journeys into the Paranormal event. We got the site going up. You can order tickets and do what you got. I mean, just come down to this event. Also, what we're looking for is we are going to be doing raffles while we're there, okay? And we're going to be doing a paranormal basket and a cryptozoology slash UFO basket to raffle off. If we have any people within the field listening to this show that might want to donate something that we could add to these baskets to raffle off to earn money for this cause, please feel free to contact me at Bruce, that's B-R-U-C-E, at near2010.com. Send me a message if you have anything, whether it be a team logo shirt, a book you might have written, a DVD you might have put out there. I even know we got some vocalists now, musicians out there creating Bigfoot songs and cryptozoology songs and paranormal songs. Any of that is much appreciated. Please get in contact with me. You know, we're getting certificates of appreciation out there if you donate something towards this raffle. Again, it's a great cause. Let's get it out there. Let's all come together and help out such a great and inspirational cause.
Well, there you go, everybody. Definitely contact Curtis because, you know, it's something that needs to be done, and it is definitely a great cause.
We actually got the website out there. Fortunately, I don't know why I can't get into your chat room, so I'll just say it here on the air. It's Journey, JOURNEY, Paranormal, PARANORMAL .wix.com/journeys. Come on, guys, visit the site. It has all the information out there. Check it out, and I hope to see all of you there. It's going to be an amazing experience.
You definitely want to get in contact and go to the website, read more about it, and get involved. I do have one more question for you.
Go for it. We got. I do believe we got until 9:30. Is that correct?
We do. We have 25 more minutes left of the show.
There we go. Let's get her done.
Now, of all this time, I did not ask the question, what got you involved? I know that as far as we know what happened as far as Bigfoot went for you to be part of that, but paranormal-wise, what got you involved?
You know what? I guess I'll start with the first story here that got me pretty much enthused. I'm not going to say involved right away, enthused. I grew up born and bred Brooklyn, baby, you know, Brooklyn, New York. Don't get better than that. Well, born and bred there, growing up, had a group of friends, and we used to go to this one area. If anybody lived in Brooklyn or even New York, you might have heard of this amusement park called Nellie Bly. But right next to this amusement park, Nellie Bly, there used to be an area gave it its initial name, called the Trails. It was an abandoned hotel that was going up or maybe some private buildings. Couldn't find any research other than the fact that apparently they went bankrupt. So it was left unattended. It was right off the marina, right off the bay. Beautiful area. We used to go in there, abandoned buildings. People burnt them down. believe there were some murders over there, and people got killed and even buried there. excuse me. But we used to go there, and we used to play manhunt, tag, you know, teenagers doing that. And at one point, they had this little dock there, and I remember I went hiding under the dock. And as I was hiding under the dock, I turned, and I saw this guy just sitting there on the rocks. And I asked him, what are you doing here? You know, all like, oh, my God, you know. And all he responded was just sitting here waiting. And sitting there for a few seconds more, and then I asked him again. I'm like, I smirked and laughed, but what are you doing here? Responded the same thing, just sitting here waiting. All of a sudden, I hear them, you know, I guess they came onto the dock, my friends trying to find me. And as I hear them stepping on the dock, I turned around to look at this guy again to, you know, like kind of give him the shh, be quiet, don't let him know I'm here. And he wasn't there. He wasn't gone. Well, from that point on, I did go home and, you know, try to talk to people about this. And at every parents tell their kids and, you know, different people, it was your imagination, okay? You know, you're going crazy. You're lying. You know, stuff like that. So growing older, getting into the field, I met a wonderful woman, and her brother became a good friend of mine, and, you know, he had some experience as well, and he was interested in the field, and this is what got us to form the team. And from there on out, man, we just formed this team, and it's been a journey ever since. It's been, you know, a blessing. I mean, we have the passion for the field. We have the drive to keep us going within the field. It's just, it don't get better than this.
I agree. It don't. I mean, the paranormal, you have to have the drive to do it, the fascination with it, you know, to begin with, to start. Because if not, you're not going to want to sit for the hours it takes to go over all the evidence that you collect. But I love the paranormal field. I never go into a place thinking, not again. You know, I'm always excited to go to a brand new place. I love the history on each and every location. You kind of smile when you know that you're out doing this and you get to go and see everything firsthand. You know, you don't always get every, you know, don't always get activity, but to sit down and do the research and learn about who the people were, you know, how they lived, what they were about, I think that within itself is just an amazing, it's just amazing.
It is, and you know what, I think, especially when it comes to the fields, I get a great sense of gratification when I'm able to help a client out. You know, more or less within the parapsychology field, when it comes to hauntings and people experiencing things, I never want somebody to feel as I did when I was a child, being told that I'm crazy, it's your imagination, you're lying. I never want somebody to experience that. And when we get to go to a client's house and help them, and 90% of the time, if not more, all people truly want is validation, that they're not going crazy. Because you know what? People, we're the last line for them to turn to somebody. Okay, you know, we're it.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't get along with ourselves within the field, if we got to sit here and be so darn competitive with one another, mm-hmm. we look like a bunch of idiots. Why would you ever, if we can't take each other and this field seriously, how do you expect the world, the public out there, to take us seriously?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to get things together. We got to stop this nonsense. And, you know, another thing I want to put out there that I feel very strongly about, people, remember one thing when you're watching all these television shows out there, okay? They might be interesting. Hey, hell, I even watch a few of them. But remember one thing. They're entertainment purposes. For people that are sitting down watching television, it's giving you some sort of enjoyment. Don't take everything you see as reality on these shows, okay? Do not start a team because you watched this show and you said, oh, this is a cool thing to do. Go into a client's house and not know what you're doing, because you know what? After your investigation, you get to go home, sleep in your warm bed, and you're going to leave whatever's there in tenfold, and these poor clients are going to have to deal with the repercussions that you caused. Before you do any investigations and get into this field, do your knowledge, do your research, know what you're talking about, and know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100% about that. And, you know, and another thing, too, that we about watching TV, watching the shows on TV and then starting a team, another thing that they need to be aware of is sometimes, you know, you may leave them at the location, but they can also follow you home.
Oh, correct.
And that may not be what you want. I mean, I've seen a lot in this field, and I was, you know, the founders of the team that I was part of trained us to know how to take and protect ourselves. You have to know. You really do. And sometimes even that doesn't protect you.
Right. And you know what? Not to name a show, but one show in particular, don't go into every location you go in, especially a client's house. Start hooting, hollering, cursing them out, demanding stuff, you know, being very disrespectful. Because remember one thing, okay, you know, I try to get this across here. Spirits, ghosts, whatever you want to call them, energy, they were once human too, okay? Treat them as such. Don't go in there, start cursing them out, demanding they show themselves or communicate in some sort of essence. Like I said, especially in a client's house, because you know what? Once again, it comes back to we get to leave after the investigation. The clients have to live there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's
okay?
Right.
Again, these TV shows are entertainment purposes only. Okay? Take them for what it's worth. That's it.
Okay.
Don't go out there acting like a bunch of them and start hooting and hollering and doing all this stuff. Okay, yeah, I watch it. I think it's amusing at times. I enjoy watching the shows at times. But you know what? There's a professionalism involved within the field. Okay, remember that.
You have to be professional because if you're not, your clients, they're not going to call you back. They're going to think you're a joke, literally. A lot of them will think that you don't conduct yourself right.
Another thing, and that goes for all fields. Again, don't get in it because it's a cool thing to do. It's nothing more than an adrenaline rush because it's not just about the investigating. It's not just about going to a house or a historical landmark or a cemetery to investigate and get the best evidence. Remember one thing, okay, and I tell a lot of people, we went through members, you know, up the gazoo because they don't realize they're all in for it because, oh, my God, is it going to be like TV? You know, are we going to go investigate? Yeah, you know what? We'll go investigate. But afterwards, okay, you got a day, maybe two, maybe even three, okay, if not longer, that you have to sit there through pain and agony of evidence review. And unfortunately, people don't like doing that. Well, that comes with the territory, people, okay? It's and you know what? Another thing, especially when you do a client's house, don't just sit there going and do an investigation. Follow up. Treat a client like they're your neighbor, like they're your friend, like they're your family member. Okay, be there for them. Okay,
right.
It's not just about being a ghost hunter. Okay, you're an investigator. You are a researcher. I hate that term, ghost hunter. You're not a ghostbuster. Okay, you don't have a proton pack and a microwave where you're going to catch one of these things. All right, you're an investigator. Be professional. Enough is enough. Stop making this field an embarrassment. We need the public to start taking us. And if this keeps going on, it's not. You know, I actually wish we can go back to before this field and many of these fields have become so mainstream. Okay, I mean, it seriously, if you went into the field not knowing anything, not doing your research, it's really embarrassing when you pick up on what these shows do to the field and how they portray the field to be.
I agree. I wanted to share something with you real quick, and I'll only take a moment to do it. I'm getting ready. I myself am getting ready to train a team. And, of course, I've been in the field for right at 5 years now, so you know, I'm very aware of everything, of what can be and what can happen and what can't happen. But I went to look at a location. I'm really fascinated by this because I went during the day. My 16-year-old went with me, and it's an old fort that's here in Texas. And we went across to look at one of the buildings. And as we went in, they had forgotten to give me the code to the alarm, to shut the alarm off inside this building. It was an officer's quarters. Well, I told my daughter in the middle of the day, and I said, you know, wait right here. I'll be right back. I'm going to go get them. Hold on. I'll be right back. So I went across, and I told them what was going on. Of course, the alarm, they could hear it. So they were trying to get the code to everything from one of the maintenance. And they sent someone back over with me. Well, when we started back over, the gentleman that was with me, he said, well, I wonder if he said maybe someone's turned it off already. That wasn't the case. We get into the building. Well, as we're going over, my daughter calls me, and she's scared. This was the main part of it. She was scared. She calls me. She says, Mom, there's somebody in the building. I said, no, Sarah, you know, the door was locked. I unlocked it myself. There's nobody in the building. And she says, no, Mom, you don't understand. She said, the alarm, it quit on its own. It didn't stop. And I found that to be somewhat odd because, you know, you had to have that code. Well, the alarm quit. And she said, as she's looking out the window, she heard something behind her. So she turns to look, and she turns around to look. She said she could hear footsteps upstairs, and then there was a banging noise inside this officer's quarters. So she's telling me that she's scared, and she didn't want to be in there and wanted to stay on the phone. Well, what I found out directly thereafter, the person that went with me was somewhat of a tour guide, and he explained to me that there was a 13-year-old little girl that passed away inside his quarters. It was upstairs in one of the bedrooms. And, I just the thoughts of being able to have activity in the middle of the day like that, it's exciting. You know, it's sad because of what happened to the little girl. But, you know,
I
never thought about the activity.
You know what? Listen, let's put it to you this way, okay? There's not a certain time that the spirits come out and hang out, okay? They're there. They're in a location. They're there. They're there 24 hours a day, okay? There might be, within talk and theory, that you have the witching hour, which is a few different hours, I believe, in different aspects. It's like 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, or 3 o'clock. Could that produce a little bit more of the activity? Yeah, maybe. Okay. But they're there all day long. One of my best pieces of evidence was during daytime hours. I believe it was like 1, maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And we set a camera on burst and was taking shots every so often. And we ended up getting a nurse floating out at a woman's medical center here on Staten Island. It's abandoned now. And she was coming out of one of the doorways. And you could see that she used to wear those old hats and a little apron and all of that. And that was, you know, during the day. I believe, okay, the only reason why a lot of people like to investigate at night more has to do with more or less the video and still shot cameras, where you're not having too much light reflect or play with the lenses and, you know, interpret something that's not really there and it's just a matter of light on your picture or your video.
Well, I think with my daughter, the reason why it made me, it kind of sets the thoughts on, which I know it can happen at any given time as far as activity goes. I think that for it to happen to my daughter, it was because this child that had passed away was only a 3-year age difference between them.
Oh, wow.
So I feel like she thought that, you know, someone her age was there. She wanted her to know that she was there. And I have a picture, which I'm not going to say for certain that it's paranormal because I did take some pictures with my cell phone. And one of them, it appears to be a child underneath the table. But I'm not positive because I can't pull it up good enough to get a good look.
Right.
But, you know, it was just a thought, you know, and I had to tell my daughter, because my daughter kept telling me, she said, Mom, she said, I'm going crazy. She said, I know I heard this. I said, Sarah, no, you know, you're not. This happened. You know, this paranormal activity is real. Spirits are real. They're there. Sometimes they want certain people to know there. And I said, I think in your case, it was because of the age. Their ages were so close together. and this little girl felt comfortable with the fact that there was another child in this house close to her age.
Right. You know what? And it very well could be. You know, I find that a lot of activity goes on in different houses and different areas because all this entity wants to do is be known. It wants to be heard, so to speak. It wants to communicate. It wants you to know that it's there. And a lot of times, even after investigation, a lot of it dies down a little bit. I mean, look at it this way. If you were passed on and you were sitting there for years upon years upon years and nobody's listening to you, nobody's communicating with you, I think you'd get a little frustrated too. Believe me, when the day comes that I pass on, you have no idea what people are in for.
Well, I agree with you. I think, you know, a lot of times that they don't want to be forgotten. You know, don't forget them. I mean, I've run into stuff even before I became a paranormal investigator. And I was in Arizona, and I had an instance, something that happened to me there, and it literally, I had to go back to this location to take a look. And when I went back, there was a cross on the side of the road and it had three names on it. And the only words that I spoke, you know, when I was standing there was, you won't be forgotten. And that's years. And I have not forgotten that. And I won't forget that because I feel like the spirit didn't want to be forgotten.
Right.
And I've never forgotten. I won't.
Well, you know what? Karen, once again, it comes back. And I believe you agree, it comes back to most entities, you know, whichever you believe, were once human, okay? Treat them like they were human. Treat them like you were next-door neighbor. You know, if, you know, let's just say, if you were a douchebag when you were alive, I think you're going to be one of them when you pass away, okay? I don't think it just magically changes. You know, if you were a good-hearted person, you know, when you were alive, yeah, you're probably the same thing when you passed on. Okay? That's why, you know, I'm not against the whole that there are demons and demonology and stuff like that. You know, I wish I knew more into the subject. I do read some into the subject and research into some into the subject. But I just, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of what people experience right away as a son of a gun spirit, because it's, you know, maybe being mean, they take right away as it's a demon. You know, we can't use that term too loosely now. You know, not everything's a demon, just like not everything's a Bigfoot, just like not everything's an alien.
Exactly. You know, and people have to keep that in mind. You know, there are negative spirits out there that will do mean things. No, but it's just because, you know, it's an angry spirit. They're angry for some reason, you know, or maybe they just want to be heard, and sometimes they're not being heard like they want, and that's how they react. Or it could be, as you said, you know, someone that was hateful in life, they're just hateful in death as well.
No, 100% agreed.
Would you like to put your websites back out again? Because we are down to the last 5 minutes of the show.
Sure. Well, you know what? First, I want to take a minute here to say, hey, guys, Spirit Travels Radio, definitely a show to come back to, definitely a show to listen to. I enjoyed myself here. Also want to give a shout-out to the owner of GTN. Glad we're going to be family members on this network, Mr. Richard Parnell. Great guy. He works with you, you know, busts his back to help you out and get things done. It's definitely going to be enjoyment, nonetheless, to be on this network and just have this radio show going, you know, for the people and for the guests and the public and everybody listen to it. It's glad that we're all connected and we're all getting together. Thank you guys so much for having me here. Really appreciate it. I really appreciate the time for you guys to let me get out this fundraiser because, again, it means a lot, okay? It's definitely a great fundraiser to go to. If you just tuned in or just even a second statement here so you guys know, the fundraiser we're doing is brought to you by Signs and Near. We are research groups, and the event that we're doing is called Journeys into the Paranormal. Okay, it's a paranormal conference. Now, just let's not happen, folks. It's not just about parapsychology here. Okay, we're going to have cryptozoologists as well as a lecture of Bigfoot and investigation in a really hotspot area out there where Bigfoot's known to reside, so to speak. So we're going to check that out and dabble in that. We're going to have people from MUFON coming down. We're going to have a psychic medium coming down. Great people coming to this event. Lectures, different ghost hunts, Bigfoot investigation. Can't beat it at all, and it's for a great cause to help the Chesapeake Bay Environmental Center. They are a wildlife sanctuary, and they could really use help out of Graysonville, Maryland. Okay, yeah. If you guys want, please check out the website. It's Journey Paranormal, that's JOURNEYPARANORMAL.wix.com/journeys. Come there, check it out. It has all the information, who's going to be there, what we're going to be doing, and where you can sign up, get your tickets, get them now. I mean, you don't want to miss out on an event. And it's not just an event. Okay, you're banging two birds out here with one stone. You're coming to an event, you're gaining some knowledge, you're going to meet some fascinating people, and also you're doing some good out there. You're helping our wildlife preserve. You know, this is our future. We need to help the species that we have left here. You know, and I'm sure many people out there will agree. We got to help our wildlife, and this is a way to do it. Come to this conference, meet great people, help out some wildlife, help out a preserve, a sanctuary.
Yeah.
Learn. Leave this place with some knowledge.
Yeah.
Want to miss out. It's a great event.
I was born on Assateague Island.
Over.
So I the eastern shore is very close to me in my heart.
There you go, and I hope we're going to get some, like, Spirit Travels gear coming our way for our raffle.
We, too, get to work on that so we can send you something for that raffle.
Yeah.
I don't even have a T-shirt. We definitely need to make T-shirts and have those done for the radio show. We've talked about it. We just haven't done it yet. But everybody, please go to this and save this preserve. And it's
what I'll do too, Karen, is I'll send you the information to both you guys, and maybe you can post it on your wall, because I'm sure you got a lot of people that come there and listen to the radio show that are friends with you on your walls. And unfortunately, like I said, I couldn't get into the chat room tonight to be able to post these links for you, but I'll hand them off to Karen and all, and she'll get them up on her walls and everything, so you guys can just hit on the link if possible.
Almost certainly. Again, thank you for so much for coming on, and I do apologize for Friday, because everybody, we were supposed to do the show on Friday, but due to bad weather, we were not able to. But thank you.
Not a problem. Stuff happens, you know. No need to apologize. I know how it is.
Well, I appreciate it, but you are more than welcome to come back on Spirit Travels anytime.
Sounds like.
Glad to have you back on.
Sounds like a plan.
If you like. All right, sounds good. And thank you, Jolene, thank you so much for taking over for me when I couldn't do it when I was having tech problems.
Just everybody, real quick,
I thank you for the honor.
Everybody, real quick, look out there for the newest radio show that's going to be coming on the GTN network, and that is NEAR, Skeptics and Believers Radio. You don't want to miss out on the format.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. You can go to ghosttelltv.com, catch NEAR, the brand new radio show for Bruce and his team on there, and also Spirit Travels Radio. And Jolene, it is always an honor having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So we'll see you on Friday.
Okay.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Good night.